Bigaroo, bigaroo.
All right, good afternoon. This is the Guam EPA Board of Directors regular meeting. Today's date is January 18, 2024. The approximate time is 4 o'clock p.m. and this meeting is being recorded. How do you, we'll go around the room. Say your name. Stephen Carbolito.
Stephen Carrara.
Steve Hollister.
Dave Duenas.
Daniel Titingfall.
Fran Castro calling from EPEN.
Thank you. Seeing that we have quorum, the publication went out, and we are streaming, we'll get this meeting started. First item, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Next one, approval of the December meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of December 14, 2023.
Thank you, Fran. Is there a second?
Let the people read it.
Thank you.
Oh, no. No, same. Waiting for people to finish to read.
Well, I'll second it. No one will second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, hearing none. The meeting minutes is approved. Next up, administrative report.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Directors. First administrator. So Chief Engineer Captain Brian Bearden was scheduled to transition to CNMIBEQ this week. But there has been a delay in his order, so we have him for the remainder of the week and possibly all of next week. So what we're going to do is we're just going to continue to absorb the cost of that extension until he is actually moved to site now.
Can we cancel his orders and keep them here?
I'd like to, but you'd have to agree. But we're happy to have him for as long as we can have him. So also our agency legal counsel, Assistant Attorney General Kristen Finney was reassigned by the Office of the Attorney General. And so we are starting the process of requesting another AAG to represent us. EHS supervisor interviews are still ongoing. There is still one more applicant that needs to be interviewed. And then we will tabulate the sheets, and then we'll make a selection. And then as of the 12th, we have 51 full-time employees. Budget and procurement, when we applied for Category B with FEMA for reimbursement, that is currently still pending. So an estimated 2 weeks for upload and approval for that amount. And if you need, we'll have Connie can talk about what we applied for and what we're hoping to get as far as reimbursement. So as far as the our target at the end of January is to satisfy the operations building arrears with the Guam Ancestral Lands Commission. So we still have to work that out, but we're hoping to clear that up by the end of the month with GALC. We finally have some good news in terms of our headquarters, our new headquarters. So we're coordinating with DPW to start soliciting for the architectural and engineering services for the new building. We submitted a scope of work, which they're reviewing, and we're hoping that they approve all of the language in there, and we can start soliciting for A&E services. For permitting, for the period between December 18, 2023 to January 12, 2024, we received 80 permit applications, 16 responses were returned, and 36 permits were signed and approved. Policymaking, Bill 175-37, which is an act to amend the Toilet Facilities and Sewage Disposal Act, codified in 10 GCA Chapter 48, was heard on January 4th. So we stated conditional support with the following recommendations. One was the use of Type 4 advanced nitrogen-reducing on-site sewage disposal systems on unsewered properties over the groundwater protection zone should be limited to just the parental and decedent lot owners who wish to develop homes on properties not less than a fourth of an acre. However, it appears that the proposed bill opens it up to all properties and allows for Type 4 use of for parental and decedent lots down to 1/6 of an acre. So that was the one issue that we had the most opposition to. Interim permitting authority over Type 4 and holding tank should remain in effect until the agency successfully promulgates rules and regulations, not to be limited to just the 12 months, but to have that interim permitting authority in place until we develop those rules and regs. And as far as the Sewage Disposal Assistance Fund in the bill, as a regulatory agency vested with the authority to permit, investigate, render a decision, and impose discipline or sanctions when a violation occurs, overseeing an operational activity such as providing financial assistance for sewer connections or installation of on-site on-site wastewater systems to which we inspect may pose a conflict. So we brought that up. So Guam EPA, with its regular consolidated grant funding, will not be able to support or provide financial assistance to individual residents. So we certainly asked Senator Perez to omit that section of the bill. In Section 3 of the bill, which adds Section 101G, definition of advanced nitrogen-reducing on-site disposal systems, Guam EPA recommends that the definition be changed to replace the word certified with the word approved as follows. And that is certified, approved by the Guam Environmental Protection Agency. Members of the public, the Guam Association of Realtors, and the Office of the Attorney General also submitted written and oral testimonies. Also, an oversight hearing on the status of Guam's water resources were also held on January 4th in the morning. So the agency appeared before the Committee on Environment alongside the Guam Water Works Authority and WERI to answer questions on PFAS, dieldrin, nitrates, and Guam's aquifer and surface water. Programs, projects, and partnerships. I attended the Civil Military Coordination Council meeting along with Acting Deputy Nick Lee on January 9th at the JRM headquarters. And we discussed the objectives of the working groups within the charter, the possibility of adding new working groups, and reviewed the charter purpose. And we were reminded to be prepared for comments for the draft EIS for the missile defense system. I also attended, along with the ASO, a webinar hosted by the DOD's Office of Local Defense Community Cooperation for their Defense Community Infrastructure Program grant funding. And this was an invitation extended by Congressman Jim Moylan. And we learned about funding opportunities through this DCIP that may cover costs for construction-related projects and infrastructure improvements off base and in support of DOD. So it had to be a community benefit that supported DOD operation. In FY23, the DOD awarded $100 million in grant funding for these types of projects, and the agency intends to explore how it can apply and avail of this funding. So they're expecting about the same amount of money for this grant year. So the range, the grant proposal, the range is nothing less than $250,000 up to $20 million for one project. New Hampshire and Pennsylvania Extension Services is on island and working with UOG to conduct a free pesticide training workshop this week. So that is actually scheduled today. from 5 to 9 at the UOG campus, and is sponsored by the Agriculture and Natural Resources Program of the UOH Cooperative Extension and Outreach. So this is specifically going to be a training on worker safety with when handling pesticides. And that's all I got, Chairman.
Thank you, Michelle. Questions, comments from board members?
I have one question. It might be dated, but I attended one of the board meetings where the debris at the new EPA offices in, was it Dedido?
Mm-hmm.
The debris that were discovered, tires, met, and some other metals, if I'm not mistaken, that was supposed to be disposed of by DPW, I believe.
So whatever remaining...
Has that been done?
Ineligible waste?
The tires, remember they estimated.
Is this a pre-mower or post-mower?
Jeez. Well, mower is what? Oh, pre.
Pre. So that is still on the property. That's something that we are still responsible for.
And is DPW, was I correct, was tasked with removal?
We haven't developed an MOA with DPW.
But that was brought up, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
But we haven't developed the MOA.
So it's still there?
Pre-mower, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's also pending cleanup by US EPA.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it's not exclusive just to tires, other debris as well.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
Thank you.
51 employees, how short there? Does that make y'all?
We have a staffing pattern of about 80. But we are actively recruiting, so
always.
ASLR, yeah. ASO and I are working at putting packets together for recruitment.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
On that oversight hearing on the status of Guam's water resources, you appeared with GWA and Weary to answer questions on PFAS and Dildrin, et cetera. What was the outcome of that hearing, if you could share?
So the senator wanted to know, about the contaminants that are found in our drinking water and levels. So we were able to discuss, where the contamination and what wells were identified to have exceedances of certain contaminants. We talked about possible sources of that contamination. GWA talked about treatment methods to remove that contamination. And then we also talked about how development, over the GPZ could affect those contaminant levels as well. So really it was talking about, the water resources, contaminants in the water, the sources of that contamination, and treatment of that water.
So is there any follow-up, or were you guys just there to talk about those things?
I know that GWA talked about what their plans were for treatment and what we suggested in terms of interim action levels that we proposed to the board last board meeting.
Okay. And then I have another question on the civil, civilian military coordination council meeting?
Yes, both.
What was your role there? Are you part of the council, and what are the kinds of objectives of the working groups were discussed? But I'm just curious.
Yeah, so it's really all of GovGuam agencies that basically will assist DOD in their buildup, right? So it's basically a partnership between GovGuam and DOD, and how to create this partnership moving forward with the buildup. So everything from housing to labor force to permitting to construction, Who else is in that meeting? So labor, public works, Guam EPA, GURA, you know, so it's all about how impacts, you know, from this military buildup will affect GovGuam resources and operations. So really it's a collaboration on how we address shortfalls, challenges on the GovGuam side because of the buildup.
Okay. Thank you for elaborating on that.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On the three wells that were contaminated up in the north, correct?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, GWA director mentioned they're going to remain open pending the installation of these filters or what have you.
The GAC system?
Yeah. I did hear about that, and I kind of thought that was strange. Why wouldn't they close it until they put the filters in? If the contaminants are there and above the levels already.
Yeah, so the... So,
you know, I live in the north, and I do drink tap water every now and then, and that kind of concerned me. It was like, what? We're going to keep it open until they... That means the contaminants are still flowing to the people in the north.
Yeah, so I think the gray area in this case is that the Eldrin is not a regulated contaminant. So that's why with last month's board meeting, we proposed this interim action level where, you know, they will continue to monitor. And depending on the levels that are seen, then they would put out these advisories, right? Maybe, Brian, do you want to elaborate?
Yeah, so the draft interim action level, which is almost finished, we're just waiting for some final EPA review. For those three wells that exceed what we're calling the response level, and that response level is set at the 1 in 10,000 excess lifetime cancer risk. At anything above that level, the advisory will tell people to not drink that water without treatment. And then what we'll recommend to people is, by treatment, we mean either the utility installed treatment, or if the utility is not installed treatment, that they either get their water from one of the private drinking water vendors on the island that hold a sanitary permit from public health, because those systems contain all the treatment methods necessary to remove the Eldrin, or they use what's called a point of use filter that meets a certain NSF standard at their own house, or to treat it as they use it. So that's going to be the recommendation for those wells. For the other ones that are in between the EPA health advisory level, which is set at the 1 in 1 million excess cancer risk level, and all the way up to that response level. That's considered the acceptable range of risk by EPA, but you know, ideally we get everyone down below that 1 in 1 million risk level. So for everyone that's receiving water that might exceed that, which is going to be, at this point, most of the island, if not all, because we don't have data down below a certain number, which is not low enough to tell us whether we've met that number, we're going to tell people that, you know, it's a very, very low risk of excess cancer in a lifetime. But if you're concerned about that, we'll have the same advice to have your water, you for drinking water purposes, to get water from a source that uses those treatment techniques. So one of the DPHSS registered drinking water vendors, or a point of use filter that you keep and maintain in your own house. That's the basics of what we're putting, what we will be putting out soon. I can't speak for GWA, but to answer your question more, you know, talking with GWA, the choice between shutting water off and not being able to provide people water at all, which runs probably greater risk of sanitary conditions, disease, that kind of thing, they've weighed that risk and they want to continue providing water to people, but with that advisory. And the advisory, even though we haven't issued the official advisory yet, it's out there, the information's out there. We hope to get that advisory out within the next week.
Last, real quick, with
the draft,
the low risk, when you say that, is that during a person's lifetime you might not get?
Yeah, so, and
or, because if you get, yeah. if the possibility is there that you might, then that's a big concern.
Yeah. Well, this is where the whole topic of risk has to be discussed, and it is a complex topic, and it can sound scary. And we need to put it into perspective, right? So if you look at the average human, they have a lifetime cancer risk of about 25%. Each of us has a 1 in 4 chance of getting cancer. That's just the baseline risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you start looking at all the different exposures and things that cause cancer, and those start to those fall down lower risk levels. And for the most part, the things that we do on a daily basis, exposure to smoke and the things we eat and things, are all much higher risk than what we're talking about. They're all higher than that 1 in 10,000 additional risk, right? So when we talk about the 1 in 10,000 and the 1 in 1 million risk, that's an additional risk above that 25% already. So you're going from like 25% to 25.000001% extra risk, right? It's almost, you almost can't quantify that, it's so small. What does that mean for an individual, right? That's risk, it's like odds. That doesn't mean that 1 in 1 million people are going to get cancer, it just means on an individual basis that your risk is increased by about that much. So, and it's over a lifetime. It's calculated over a 70-year period of exposure to these chemicals. So it's, EPA has for decades now had that guidance that anywhere between the 1 in 10,000 and 1 in 1 million risk level is considered acceptable risk range. And that's where we try to gauge that. So we've got this range now in between that EPA acceptable risk level way down here, right, compared to the things that we kind of just do in a normal life that causes cancer. And anything above that, that's where we're going to be recommending that people don't drink it without treatment. And that's where we draw the line at that 0.2 microgram per liter level, which 3 wells exceed right now. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, really good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Kind of lowers my concern a little bit.
But thank you. No, really.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Any idea when they're going to talk about the toilet facilities change again?
So I know that they're working on a draft. I know that Senator Perez is looking at our original comments. Before it was revised to include the language of the parental and decedent loss down to the 1/6 acre. So we haven't seen the draft yet, but as soon as we get it, we're going to review it, and hopefully those changes, those are the three big things, right? The decedent and parental lots down to 1/6 just for them. I'm sorry, to 1/4, and then not to all properties, and then the wording from certified to approved, and then the removal of that sewage disposal assistance fund. We're hoping to see changed in the bill.
What is GWA's position on it? I find it interesting because I watched the news and I didn't see them have a position or talk about the cost to treat the water if this happened. I mean, because there's quite certain people and groups had quite a bit of a pushback on it.
Yeah, so he did talk about how treatment for these 32 wells.
Forget the number.
32 wells.
GWA. That was a morning session, though, not during the
septic system. Yeah. So in the morning, he did talk about how installing these GAC systems on the 32 wells that he has would be about $2 million each. So it would cost about $64 million just to install these GAC systems.
But yeah, but that's for the Diane.
PFAS.
Yeah. But what about
But it would also take care of Deldrin, right?
It would also take care of Deldrin, but they're
and
different
the toilet?
It's different well sets that are having the problem. So it would go from 32 wells up to 35 that they would have to install the gap.
And then he did say that, if he could everything could be sewered, it would be done, but there's a cost to making sure that everybody was sewered.
Mm-hmm.
But just to throw something else out there, the PFAS came up in relation to septic systems because we do know that there is PFAS in wastewater. There's been studies that have shown that you can find PFAS in septic system waste as well. They found it in the GWA sewer system. So we know that that's a source of PFAS to the drinking water aquifer. And when we look around the island at the levels of PFAS that we have like known hotspots where obviously we had some big spills of or usage of aircraft firefighting foam like around the airport and a few other places. But around the rest of northern Guam, we see this kind of lower background level, and in some areas it's high enough to exceed this upcoming MCL from EPA. And we suspect that septic systems are a large contributor to that lower background level that we see. So to an extent, and we tried to talk about it, we tried to reinforce this and or emphasize this during both the morning and afternoon meetings, that you know, that's even though we're talking about these advanced treatment systems that can remove nitrate and the basic wastewater parameters, they probably don't remove anything of the PFAS, and that's still a risk. Because every time you put wastewater into the aquifer, and that was our whole point, it's not just a few contaminants you're looking at. You're looking at everything that we dump down our sinks and our toilets and our washing machines. And, you know, PFAS is one of them, and there's a lot of other things that we are not regulating right now, which may be regulated in the future, that we need to be careful that we're not overloading the aquifer and having to commit ourselves to more costs to treat later. Things like pharmaceuticals, other things we don't even know about yet.
I mean, so the PFAS is coming from the water source, no?
In some cases, it's coming from the water source, but in a lot of cases, it's coming from us, right? Our diet, our clothing that we're washing in the washing machine. You know, the greatest source of exposure to us is our diet. We're getting PFAS through our food and through the wrappers on our food and through the microwave.
All right, so yeah, there's more than one contributing factor
yes.
here.
Yeah.
Wow, I never realized that. And this is not a unique problem in Guam. I mean, water
everywhere.
Source everywhere. Is a problem.
Yeah, but not everywhere is an island where we only have a very limited.
Well, yeah, I'm not.
But I'm just saying. Yeah. No, I'm.
This
with
is
you.
A problem accelerating
yeah.
throughout
yeah.
modern world.
It's scary for us because of our single source, you know, aquifer.
Wow.
I have a question. 60 million or two?
Two plus.
Two.
Just to comply
part,
with the
yeah.
upcoming
and
MCL.
If I heard it correctly, if that was sewer, that would be nullified?
No, that's still a problem. The PFAS is in there. It's got to be treated anyway. I think the sewer was just that we wouldn't have to worry about the new set types of septic systems and some of the density requirements of everything with sewer.
Okay. Because my question was, if you put 60 plus million, if they were to use that to expand the sewer system, would that help?
I think they would still
require
significant.
It would, okay.
Because it's already in the water. It's gonna.
Okay.
It would take a while. Years, decades, we're not even sure.
But that's in the sewer water to go out to the ocean.
In the sewer it does, yeah. Unless it leaks, unless it overflows.
Correct. Okay.
Last question for me, at least. Does treatment plants treat PFAS at all? Or?
No, I mean, a certain amount of it comes out because it sticks to the solids, the sludge that they remove, and that's where we find it, right? Because we tested the sludge, that's how we learned about it. But there's no processes in there that will remove PFAS other than just that absorption to the sludge, which just passes right through to the ocean. And it gets into the fish and everything else.
Yeah.
Are you going to fix this?
Working on it. On my side job. Yep, definitely working on it. All right. Any more questions? Hearing none. The next topic. Oh, any new NOVs in the past month?
No.
Okay. Thank you. So that wraps up. Item 4, right, administrator's report?
Yep.
Okay. Next one, the performance review. So in your board packet, this was sent out not too long ago. So if you guys need more time to review it, let me know. Or if you're ready to go through this, we can. Since Michelle was recently appointed 6 months ago, it's time for her administrative review. So it's the same template that we've been using. Section 2, are the standards that were, that are on our form, and then section 3 are the notes on what's been done over the past period, review period.
When is this thing due? Is it due already, or?
Yeah.
It's time. It's ready to be for us to discuss it. Last guidance we got from Kristen was, we're talking about it. If we need another month, last time, in the last year, she said it was okay if we presented it and continue to talk about it if you guys aren't ready. She didn't say that about this time, but she did say that last time when we had the same type of discussion.
I just haven't really had the opportunity to do this, given that I just got the packet yesterday.
Okay.
If you give me time to read it, and we can act on it, but if not, I don't know, has everyone read it?
Well, I think it's like I said, like the chairman said, it's similar to the one we used in the past, and I guess it comes down to whether or not we agree with the evaluation factors in Section 4 in terms of compliance, and I would assume that we would answer personally yes to everything in Section 4, as well as the boxes, the ovals or the circles in supporting our recommendations. Oh, with the exception of the last, well, the last one's a trick one. It says, we recommend retaining the administrator, but with the condition. Well, we recommend retaining, but I don't have any other conditions.
Buy
unless anybody proposes it. Unless that she buys lunch at the next meeting. But that would be my recommendation. No, not for the lunch, but that we approve.
Okay. But I could do lunch.
Or cookies, maybe cookies.
Do we have to wait for a next meeting, or
no.
Can we just do it like when we're comfortable, like after we're reading this? Or did you guys want to act on it right now?
Personally, I prefer to act on it now, because I don't think anything's going to change between now and the next meeting.
Have we heard anything negative?
I'm not aware of any negative findings.
Someone has come to me and said something.
Okay, just give me a minute and let me just breeze through this.
No problem.
I mean, some of these, you know, we wouldn't know every single one, but
okay, I'm good.
All right. Well, I'll just kick off the discussion. So, yeah, page two notes items that have been tackled and completed over the past 6 months. And, yeah, Michelle, I want to say thank you 6 months ago for stepping up to the task of leading Guam UPA as its administrator. And you do well in engagements with the legislature and in these board meetings on addressing all the concerns of the board. And I'd like to see that continue. Obviously, we see that we have we'd like to hire more, so hopefully that obviously I know that you prioritize that, but that would be a good thing to continue hitting hard over the next 12 months on hiring people. And so that will also trickle down into permitting and other aspects that the community wants to see on getting things done. And so I'm ready to vote on this. And so is there a motion to, on page one, well, I guess.
I think we go through the questions on section four.
Yeah, so we'll go 1B first. So Guam UPA Board of Guam UPA Board of Directors recommendation to retain administrator. Yes. And then page three, column one, administrator perform to the standards set by the board for budget and management, agency programs, administration, policy and strategic planning. Yes. Board of Directors, reason for retaining the administrator. Administrator has performed at the level of performance standards prescribed. Accomplishments have met expectations. Performing in accordance with 10 GCA 45102. Administrator performs other duties that are beneficial to the agency. So I think all of those bubbles can be circled yes if there's a motion. And then if there's any other comments anyone has, bring it up.
I'll make a motion to circle, fill in all the bubbles, yes, and section four, going across the top of the page, concerning performance and with respect to Board of Directors' reasons for retaining the administrator, fill in circle one, two, three, and four.
Yeah, and then for that motion also to put yes, recommended on 1B.
Yes.
All right.
I'll second.
There's a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Yeah,
since you wrote on yours, you can fill in the bubbles.
No, can you fill in mine?
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Directors.
Oh, you have one? Okay.
Yeah, I have mine.
Okay.
Thank you. By the way, I'll say it again. Great job in cleaning up that Tijan facility. I never thought it'd get done.
Yeah.
I know you had a big part in that round.
I'm cool.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's good.
I just want to add my congratulations. I don't know if you heard it, but like congratulations for stepping up after all the changes occurred. I know that we had struggled to have board meetings in the past few months. And I hope that you can try to schedule your trips around so that you're always present at the board meeting. I think it's really important for the administrator to participate in these meetings moving forward. So that's all. I commend you for your work, and I think you're doing an excellent job in all aspects of, as the administrator of Guam EPA. I just ask for future board meetings if you can really be present, because it really makes a difference.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Director.
Okay. Any questions, comments from the public or anybody else in the agency? Hearing none, our next meeting is scheduled for third Thursday of the month, so that is February 15th. So Arlene will coordinate and ensure everyone can make that date, and if not, we'll act accordingly.
It's okay. Well, okay. Just one bit.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll gladly make that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Who seconded that? Sorry.
Hollister. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good day.
This is
What's that?
This is
amazing. A what?
An easy.